Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Jeffrey Pilgrim is here again to bring you a further chapter of Office Wife.
This time I really am in the soup, and I can't see any way out. After my secretary, Stella Bronson, helped me out so splendidly over that Bates-Hemingway business, I thought the right thing to do was to buy her a pair of earrings. But the day I did that very thing was also my wife's birthday, which I'd completely forgotten. So I gave Marcia the earrings to cover up. The trouble is, I wrote a card to put in the box for Stella and slipped it into my pocket to fix later on. Then Marcia went through the pockets of just that particular suit to send it to the cleaners, and of course she found the card. And the way it's worded, whew. If I let her believe what she already does, it's no worse than the lie is going to be if I tell her the truth. No. I tell you straight, I don't know which way to turn.
It doesn't really matter now, Jeff. You can pitch me a story or not, just as you like. But you can't expect me to believe it. When did it really start?
When did what really start?
The affair with Stella.
There never was an affair, Marcia. You simply must believe me.
Let me read you your own words again, in your own writing. On this card I found in the pocket of your suit. To Stella, in appreciation of an evening well spent. Which evening was it, Jeff? The one before our wedding, or the one you worked late at the office with her?
It was about 10 days ago, when she worked till 3 o'clock in the morning to save my job for me.
How perfectly sweet of
her. It's true. Marcia, I was going to let you think what you liked and shut up, hoping this would blow over.
I'll believe what I like, whatever you say.
But I'm still going to say it. I fell flat on my face over some most important work at the office. Stella took charge at the last moment and worked half the night to put matters right. And the next morning, in front of Fleming, she took all the blame and saved the day for me. Hang it, what would you do under circumstances like that?
What's all this to do with the card in your pocket?
Well, look, darling, I hate to admit this, but I did forget your birthday. The earrings were for Stella, and the card was to go with them.
And you had the filthy, rotten nerve to give me her present for my birthday.
Now, listen, Marcia.
Where are they? They're going out of the window this minute.
Marcia.
Don't Marcia me. Don't think of it.
Do you think I wanted to tell you? I hadn't any choice. I couldn't let you believe what that note implied, could I? Darling, it happened of its own accord. Your Aunt Harriet was sitting there just gloating because I'd forgotten your birthday and the earrings were lying in my overcoat pocket and well, what else could I do?
You could have had the decency to own up. But to give me a pair of revolting cheap earrings that you'd bought for your peroxided thing of a secretary. Oh, I could tell you, Jeff Pilgrim, I could tell you.
Now, look, pull yourself together.
I won't pull myself together. I'm getting out of this flat this very minute.
Where to?
That's my business.
You're not leaving this flat tonight.
Oh, just you try to stop me.
I'll stop you easily enough like this.
No, get away from me. Jeff, let me go, let me go. Oh, I hate you, I hate you. Let me go.
No, you're my wife and I love you.
Love? Oh, how can you say the word?
I'm going to hold you like this till you calm down, Marcia. If you leave me now, it might be the end of us. And I'm not going to lose my wife because of an innocent combination of circumstances. Do you hear me? I won't let you go. It's no use struggling. I'm not going to let you get away.
I don't want you near me.
But you're going to put up with it, aren't you? Oh, darling, don't let's quarrel over a pair of earrings. Please, Marcia. Darling. There, don't cry. There's nothing to cry about, really. Miss Anna.
I wouldn't mind if they'd been anyone's but hers. I've been wearing that woman's earrings for days. But you understand how I feel.
Of course I know how you feel, darling.
No, you don't. I never do. All you know is how women act. You never know how we feel.
Well, never mind. Just try and calm down. There's a good girl. You'll soon forget this silly business. And the thing you have to do is forgive me for being a blundering blockhead. Do you forgive me? Forgive me and let's throw the earrings away. Darling.
What's the matter with you this morning, Jeff? You look as tired as the very dickens.
No, I am tired.
What was it, a late night?
No. I was home. I didn't get any sleep.
You having trouble with Marcia? I'm sorry, I shouldn't have asked that.
Oh, it's all right. Look, I know I shouldn't say this, but I am having trouble.
Well, don't say anything to me you're going to regret later on.
No, I don't know, maybe I should shut up. I'd like to get it off my chest. I was the very devil to pay last night.
Oh? Over me?
No, indirectly, yes. Marcia's got the idea into her head that I'm keen on you. By the way, the color of your hair's natural, isn't it?
Certainly it is. It wasn't reared on a bottle.
Hmm? Oh, no. It looks very pretty. Well, as I was saying, Marcia thinks that you and I...
It wouldn't help matters if I went and saw her, would it?
Oh, good Lord, no. That'd put the fat in the fire, probably. Things will straighten themselves out in time, I expect. Oh, I'm sorry to bore you with my personal affairs, Stella. But for better or worse, I'm beginning to rely on you. Perhaps too much.
You know I'm only too happy to help you, Jeff, in any way at all. Listen, if you can get away one evening, you could come out to my place to talk things over, if you like.
What? Oh, dash it all, Stella, that wouldn't do. Oh, I say, I'd better stop feeling sorry for myself and get some work done. Benny Puller's due any minute, isn't he?
He's due now.
Well, I wonder if you'd organize young Timmy and get those old files out of the strongroom for me, would you? Oh, don't mess about with them yourself. I'll be covered in dirt and the Lord knows what else.
Yes, all right, I'll do it now. How much longer can I keep fooling myself? I started off telling myself I was after him to pull Marcia's nose. And it's time I owned up. I've been going overboard since I first saw him that day. I must be slipping. If only he didn't have such horribly nice eyes.
Want some more coffee, darling?
No, thanks, Angela.
I hope I didn't bore you with all that story about my birthday.
It bored me. Oh, darling, it was excruciating.
Just goes to show you can't get the better of the brutes no matter what you do. God bless them.
Well, I've had time to think. I can see there wasn't much else the poor dear could do. With the family sitting glaring at him for not buying me anything. As for me finding the card, well, it was just Jeff's bad luck.
Really, darling, I think all this sweet forgiveness is frightfully uncivilized. You should have kept your little secret and given the earrings to the Bronson woman for dusting Jeffrey's desk, or whatever it is she does. Then you could have laughed up your sleeve at them both and gone about feeling wonderfully superior. My psychiatrist explained it all. It's really fascinating.
At times, Angela, you're quite revolting.
At times? Oh, darling. All my friends tell me I'm always revolting.
But seriously, don't you think I've taken the right attitude? I'm beginning to realize that Jeff wouldn't go behind my back. Not really, ever.
Then just take one word of advice from me, darling. Never trust them. Never. Men as attractive as Jeffrey shouldn't be allowed off the chain for 5 minutes.
I think you're grossly exaggerating.
Have it your own way, Marcia. He's your husband. You can't get away from it. That Bronson girl is definitely ravishing. Only wish I had half her voltage. So if you really want to avoid all this emotional flatulence, just keep Jeffrey right under your thumb. Always. Remember that, Marcia. Always. Under your thumb.
Come in, Mr. Puller. How are you, sir? A cigarette?
Oh, thanks.
Miss Bronson will be in with those files I was telling you about. I think the system we used then might come in handy.
Oh, that's all right. But look here. Something much more important has cropped up.
Oh?
Can you fly interstate for 3 or 4 days next week?
Well, I imagine that'll be okay. What's the job?
Well, I think you'll be better off if you see how my interstate distribution works. Because if you'd rather not go, I can send someone else. Fleming tells me there's a chap called Harry Palmer, who's a pretty bright boy.
Well?
What about it? Shall I send him?
No jolly fear. This is my pigeon. When do you want me to go, exactly?
Up on Tuesday. back on Friday.
Right, I'll make all the arrangements. Better get an early plane, I expect.
I work faster than that, Larry. I've got your plane seats and your hotel booking in my office this minute.
Did you say, seats? Two seats?
Well, you'll want your secretary, won't you? You'll need her, I can tell you that. What's the matter? Don't tell me you're bucking at 4 days with that baby.
Yeah. Oh, no, no, it's not that exactly. I was just wondering how it would fit in with her.
I'll lay you a fiver, she jumps at it.
Well, here she is now. You'd better ask her.
Good morning, Mr. Puller. I've just been dredging up your files. Well, come on, Timmy, bring them in.
Never mind the files, young woman. Can you fly north with Jeff here for 3 or 4 days next week?
Mr. Puller, this is so sudden.
There you are, Pilgrim. What did I tell you? Listen, young woman. Do you want a job with me? I'll pay you £3 a week over and above what these people give you.
That's very generous of you, Mr. Puller. But I'm quite content with Tressida Bendigo's, thank you.
Well, I'll have to keep raising the price. I can see that. Well, let's settle then. I'll send round your tickets and confirmations of your hotel bookings later in the week. Now, let's have a look at these file things. Oh, see, Pilgrim, I forgot to ask you. How's your wife?
Oh, she's very well, thank you, sir.
Funny, you know. I completely forgot you were married. Maybe I should have booked 3 seats on that plane, huh?
Now what's going to happen? What's Marcy going to say when I tell her I'm flying north next week with Stella? I can't tell her it's out of the question. If I take Marcy at 2, they'll be at each other's throats in 5 minutes. And if I don't, and she finds out I wasn't alone, she'll ask for a divorce immediately. Oh, what the deuce am I going to do now?
We invite you to listen again to further intriguing chapters of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.